we who have the privilege of following the liturgical life, or who are shaped by a liturgical spirituality, have this privilege on feast days that we can not only ponder the scriptures of the day, which we do every day, but we also have the saints. So on a feast day like today, we're celebrating an apostle today, we can ponder the scriptures and we can ponder the life of Saint James the Apostle. The readings are specially chosen for the feast of Saint James. Now, when it comes to the apostles, as I've said many times, there's always this double aspect. There's the ordinary men, just plain old fishermen, weak men, and just like everybody else. And then the extraordinary call they have and the mission that they have established as the foundation stones of the church, sent out into the world to make disciples of all nations. So, and we see this with every one of the apostles. Today we honor St. James, son of Zebedee, to distinguish him from St. James, son of Alphaeus, the other James who we celebrated a couple of months ago, together with Philip and James. So this St. James, the brother of the other son of Zebedee, John, James and John, one of the most prominent of all the apostles. In fact, you could argue that he was second, because it's Peter, James, and John. Peter is certainly number one. Well, who's number two? Well, it's either James or John. So here's James. If you're from Ayala, Alabang, you call him James the Great. But most people just call him James the Greater. In Ayala, Alabang, it's a little ironic because they turned it into James the Great, forgetting that it's supposed to be a comparison with James the Less, to distinguish between the two Jameses. They just call him James the Great. Well, on the other hand, he is great. So I say it's a little bit ironic because this gospel that I just read shows James striving for greatness in the wrong sense and being taught, along with all the 12, the true way of greatness, which is service. So James the Great. We don't actually know much about James. We know his son Zebedee, from Bethsaida, he's a fisherman. But he didn't write anything. He didn't even say very much that we have in the scriptures. So to choose some scriptures for his feast day is a little bit of a challenge. And we know that he was present at some of the great events of Jesus' public life, raising of the daughter of Jairus, transfiguration, agony in the garden, but he didn't say anything at those, I mean, he didn't do anything, he's just an observer, just a kind of a witness. This gospel here is one of the few places where James actually seems to take some initiative, maybe prompted by his mother or his brother or family, some kind of a family dynamic where they're just aiming to rise up. And in this gospel, it's the mother who asks for the great favor of the sitting at the right and at the left. And then when Jesus says, well, can you drink the chalice? James and John say, we can. So there's one quote from James, we can. That's not very impressive. Then there's that scene when they got rejected by the Samaritan town and James and John wanted to call down fire from heaven. Shall we call down fire from heaven? That's what James said. So, not very impressive. One of the passages which could have been chosen, was not chosen for this feast day, is the account of his martyrdom. We know that James is the first of the apostles to be martyred, not the first to die, that was Judas. But Judas killed himself. But the first to be martyred, the first to make this great sacrifice, to lay down his life, is James, and this James, and it's recounted in the Acts of the Apostles, but it's actually in a story about Herod and Peter, and James is just thrown in as a little sidelight. Like, he arrested James, had him beheaded, and when, I don't know what Herod had him beheaded, and then Herod Agrippa, that is. And then when some of the Jews in his kingdom liked it, then he arrested Peter too. And we get this contrast between what happened to James and what happened to Peter. James gets beheaded, and that's the end of the story, never mentioned again. And then Peter is miraculously saved. Which brings up the mysterious providence of God, that some people die and some people live. If you follow American news, you know that this has been part of the discussion since the assassination attempt on the former President Trump. Why did Trump live and his supporter sitting in the stands get killed? Why do some people get saved and some people die? You can't just say that God only loves the people that he saves and the people who die are not loved by God. That doesn't make any sense. So we don't know, but we do know that God has in mind for each of us, whether we live or die, eternal life. So in the case of James, James' death, even though it's not given any prominence in the scriptures, is actually an extraordinary threshold, a moment in which the statement Jesus himself made about what would happen, it comes true. You will drink the cup. You will be baptized. You will share the cross with me. And James is the first. So, reading it from the eyes of faith, they say, well, this terrible loss of one of the apostles was actually a fulfillment of the plan of God. And perhaps it was the sacrifice of James that saved Peter. I mean, we don't know. But in that passage in Acts, James dies and Peter lives. Now, again, when we're talking about the apostles, we're talking about ordinary men who on their own are just not very impressive. On their own. They fish all night. You know the story. They fish all night, they don't get anything. Their greatness comes from their obedience to God. Then they can bring in a huge catch of fish. Well, these readings bring out this way of fruitfulness, this way in which the apostles have extraordinary effect on the church. Jesus sets down the principle, if you want to be great, you don't do it the way the Gentiles do it. You don't do it the worldly way. You don't do it by rising up and imposing your authority on others. That's not the Christian way. Apparently none of the 12 understood it because they're all upset. Jesus says, no, not the way that the Gentiles do it. The way to be great is my way. I'll show you how it works. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And to lay down his life, to give his life as a ransom for many. So if you want to be great, a great follower of Jesus Christ, well then you serve. Don't expect to be served. You serve. You give your life for the benefit of others. That's the way. So a great gift is given to ordinary men. And this is what St. Paul understands very well, today's first reading. We hold this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing power may be of God and not from us. The apostles understood this very well. They had received a great gift, and they themselves were earthen vessels. There's nothing special about them. They're just ordinary fishermen. By themselves, they end up with an empty boat. But they have been entrusted with a great treasure with surpassing power that comes from God. And if they allow that power to work through them, they'll have an extraordinary catch of fish. And Paul describes this with some detail, all the negative things about being an apostle are not defeating the apostles. We're afflicted, we're not constrained. We're perplexed, we're not despairing. We're persecuted, we're not abandoned. Again and again, all these contradictory things, it looks like there's no hope for us, but because we are earthen vessels carrying a great treasure, these things don't stop us at all. We end up victorious. And he concludes this little summary by saying what is actually going on here is that the dying of Jesus is at work in us so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. The dying of Jesus is at work in us, meaning we participate in mysteriously in this contradiction of the cross. When we share in his sufferings, we are part of his sufferings and death by a privilege, just like James, the first apostle, to be privileged to be a martyr. And when we do that, the life of Jesus is made known. This passage, if you know Father Francis, it is inscribed on his memorial wall there. Not the whole passage, but just a few verses of it, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where it talks about how this works. The death of Jesus is at work in us so that the life of Jesus is made known. Father Francis's little summary of that fundamental plank of Animum Spirituality is, I die, you live. That's how he summarized it. I die, you live. And that's what we see here in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Death is at work in us, but life in you. Well, who would ever want death to be at work in them? Nobody would. Except that God has chosen us to share his chalice, to be baptized with him, to suffer with him, so that his life can be shared with others. I sometimes have added to what Father Francis says. Father Francis and St. Paul say, I die, you live. But it's also, I die, I live. Because when we die with Christ, we live with Christ. That's baptism. So it's not only that our sacrifice benefits others, we also benefit from it. God doesn't crush us for the sake of others and leave us in the dust. He also raises us up. So this is what the apostles show us. And this is the chosen message, you could say, for the Feast of St. James. Because he died. He didn't, in the scriptures anyway, he didn't do anything except die. He was just an eyewitness, followed Jesus around, and then he died. Well, now we honor him as a great apostle, foundation stone of the church. The Spanish honor him as a great apostle to Spain. And you know the tradition that James went to Spain and met our Blessed Mother there, Our Lady of the Pillar. Those are ancient traditions, and who knows, maybe it's true. But in the scriptures, James does not have any prominence at all. He's not great at all. Except that he's the first to fully enter into this dynamic, I die, you live. And so he's a glorious martyr, a glorious apostle. The psalm is chosen for St. James. Those who sow in tears shall reap rejoicing. It's the same thing, right? You serve, not be served, you give your life as a ransom for the benefit of others, and you reap rejoicing. That's the Christian life. That's the apostolic life. And that's what we learn from St. James. We are inspired by his example. We ask for his powerful intercession.